Welcome to the Blessed Sacrament Homilies Podcast, where our mission is to help everyone recognize and experience the presence of God. We hope you are nourished and encouraged by the Word. Thank you for joining us.
The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
You've heard me share some stories about my father before, but part of what I didn't share is that I often did things that pushed his buttons and annoyed him a little bit. How could I be annoying? It doesn't even seem fair, does it? One of the worst examples was he borrowed my car once, and he got about two blocks away and it ran out of gas. And he came back furious and not saying, "Oh, sorry about that." I said, "Well, you always said if you borrow the car, put gas in it." That didn't get me very far. But he was also extremely punctual. So much so that he never went anywhere without being an hour early. And sometimes he would just drive around the block before he'd go in. And he would do this at church so much that the pastor went up to him, gave him a key one day, and said, "As long as you're here, unlock church for me." And he did it for probably a good 20 years. He didn't travel a lot on his own, but every once in a while he would make a trip. My mother would send him out the door, and he'd go visit a relative or two. And he went to visit one of his closest cousins once. And it was my task to pick him up from the airport. Now, it was Metro Airport down in Detroit, and since I was driving all the way down there, I thought, well, I'm going to make a few side stops. And so I visited a couple of sporting goods stores that I knew and ended up taking too much time. So I was hustling into the airport to go meet him, and this was in the days where you went to the gate to meet somebody when you could still go into the terminal. And the old parking deck at Metro Airport was full. So it took me about 5 or 10 minutes to even find a parking spot. So now I'm in a mild panic. And I get in and I find the gate where his flight was coming into. And I get there. It's already done. People are gone. Uh-oh. So I race down to the baggage claim. And there on the carousel is that one old beat-up suitcase with the duct tape on it. Just going around and around. Everybody else had picked up their bags, including my dad. Oh boy, this is not going to be pleasant. So I started going all through the airport as fast as I could, hoping I could see him. He was easy to pick out. He was bald like me and a pretty good-sized guy. No luck. That is until I was walking by one of the restrooms, and then it happened. This enormous, huge sneeze that only my father, it was so recognizable, it rattled the windows. And so I just stopped outside the bathroom and waited, and he came walking out, and I was apologetic, and he didn't get too upset, and we left. He became known to me in the breaking of my eardrums. Well, Luke goes out of his way to remind us that where we encounter and where the disciples encountered the risen Lord is in the breaking of bread. It happened to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they reiterated those stories as they gathered with the others. He became known to them in the breaking of bread, in the sharing of a meal. And in fact, Luke even enforces it more by having Jesus ask them right after he gathered together, "Do you have anything to eat?" It was central to his being revealed to his people, and in fact is central. Because when we break bread here, his presence is not only revealed to us in a very profound way, but that presence becomes united with us, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. The Eucharist, in its best sense, has to always be seen as the breaking of bread, the sharing of a meal. Because it's in that exchange with the active presence of Jesus that the transformation that takes us from ordinary to extraordinary happens. We become the living presence of Christ in the world. And then we're tasked with taking that presence out wherever we go, to our workplaces, our homes, our schools, on the streets, and make Christ present for other people. But it's always, always based on the context of breaking of bread, the sharing of a meal together, what our families do so regularly it becomes routine. It becomes routine for us as well, because our family that we call the church gathers weekly to break bread together, to share in the living, sustaining, life-giving presence of the risen Lord.